This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The people he's dating, I mean, is bizarre and questionable in terms of, okay, you're a professional. Why are you remotely close to someone that has that close of a tie to the Latin Kings? It doesn't make any sense. That's not the same ecosystem. Why you don't want to put yourself in a world where you're that close to crime. That's not the world you live in.
It's the world he feels most comfortable in.
That's true. Yeah. That's an interesting point, Robin. It is. So why is that?
Because that's where his mind is. He's not a dentist in his mind. And, mm-hmm. and that's the way of making his money that his mommy wanted him to do. But if you are aligning and you feel more comfortable with that level of character, these degenerates, and not saying Green Beret, but you know where you're dealing with drug dealers.
Yeah.
The fact you're able to find hitmen, you know, they're just without batting an eyelash, you know, it kind of shows you who you're aligning yourself with. Remember, we're always going to act in our own best interest in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity. Mm-hmm. We do things and surround ourselves with people that allow us to feel safe from our own perspective and our own context. These people allowed him to feel safe and comfortable with who he was. They didn't challenge who he was. So that's where he saw himself. And so he was a poser in all these other areas. And so when you bring in someone, you know, like is the doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Lacasse there as the ex-boyfriend. You know, so here's a guy who's really, really well-educated. He seems like a pretty decent guy, although a little neurotic. Mm-hmm. And so he challenges Charlie without even trying to challenge Charlie because he's just comfortable with who he is. He just is really fixated on his sister. And so it's an interesting dynamic to watch insecure people with more secure people and a sister who's manipulating the hell out of everyone in her life around her. And then a mother who's trying to control everything. That's what I mean. Is this not a reality show or what?
Well, I gotta go back and go. Okay, well, why is Charlie acting that way? He's a poser with money and power, essentially. And that's how he's kind of able to operate around, you know, some of these folks that are, you know, chilling with hitmen and things of that nature, because he has something that they want, money and power. But the problem with it is why does he feel comfortable acting that way? He was brought up in this very fortunate life, this very like lifestyle that was not, you know, in the hood. So what does that say though about the actions of Donna or the people in general that he was brought up around, that sort of behavior, that sort of darker controlling, you know, we're somehow relating this to the streets and hitmen type mentality of a family that seemed to really on the surface come across as country club.
Well, that's part of it too, is these are people he can control more easily. He can try to impress them. So it's part of who he's comfortable with. It's part of who he's control. Mm-hmm. Need more data points on this crazy family, because every time you turn over a rock, you're like, wow, there's five things under that rock I never knew were there.
Yeah.
So I just, again, it's part of the control issue with everyone in this family, learned behaviors of control, of psychological guilt and shame that are implied by others. I guarantee you the mother was doing that.
Yeah.
So he just learned behaviors from her of how you control others and who to control.
And how interesting that then translated more into folks like this that are willing to go take out and do a hit than the country club image that Donna was trying to portray. But more deep down, Donna was more street, at least in her mind, you know, than
from New York.
How interesting. I mean, I mean, this is all conjecture, obviously. Sure. Let's take another look at some more from Jeff and his testimony, or this is him talking to police in the interrogation. Also remembered Wendy talking about how trapped she felt in Tallahassee, tied there only because of her custody battle with Dan. And in one of those late night conversations, he says she let slip a remark that would later sound almost prophetic, that life would be far easier if Dan just wasn't around anymore. Take a look.
We're also talking about us, because I was like, would you ever leave under any circumstances? Yeah, I know you don't love it here. Am I going to be dating you for 2 years and you just move? She's like, I can't. You know, I can't because of Danny. And she said, yeah, as a matter of fact, something about it would be convenient if Danny wasn't around anymore. But, you know, it was wanting to happen to him or something like that. She said, but Charlie actually looked into how that would be done and how much it would cost. She might have said, I think, Charlie. I don't remember. But it was chilling. In the moment, I was like, my stomach flipped. I was like, whoa.
The crux of the statement is my brother Charlie has looked into how much it would cost to
take care of somebody. This guy has very little empathy. He's just a weird guy. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying if you're looking at somebody, you can't miss Charlie. I think that's more likely than a romantic thing.
I mean, so this very much shows us that she had some knowledge of, you know, Charlie was thinking down this possible line of where to go. But what does that say, Robin, about someone who just feels that open, that easy to share in the relationship, that my brother was thinking of hiring a hitman? It's not just a, oh, it would be easier if life, you know, if they weren't here or whatnot. It's literally going to the direction and the steps that would need to be taken to remove this person from the planet.
I think Wendy just has unintentional leakage.
Yeah.
And we see it a lot. You know, I think she felt comfortable with him and because he's disarming. He's a disarming guy. And so, you know, she felt comfortable with him. She's known him a while and she's talking about her situation because he's obviously just trying to completely influence and persuade her to stay local there. And she's kind of explaining the ways in which that could happen. And, you know, inside the family dynamic itself, because I thought about this a lot, too. So what's the likelihood that Wendy knew? What's the likelihood of Donna being part of this? The fact that they don't seem to really, and even at first I was thinking that they're protecting Wendy, and yeah, they're very protective of Wendy, but this family communicates emotionally, not pragmatic or cognitively or thoughtfully necessarily a lot of times. And so when you have an emotional regulation issue, like Charlie definitely seems to have, that means you run through things out of your mouth. And so the fact that people started understanding what his intentions were is not surprising because he runs off at the mouth, which would eventually get to Wendy. And since she has learned behavior from the rest of the family of not being able to regulate what comes out of your mouth, the world's going to know. I mean, this is why watching dumb people do dumb things is hilarious because these people are a bunch of friggin' morons just run off at the mouth. I mean, just watching emotional people operate with their lower brain and not their higher brain is just, it's comical sometimes. If it wasn't so tragic that someone lost their life, which is also interesting too. Zio and I had mentioned this on one of the previous episodes. I was really curious about why Wendy divorced Dan.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense. But again, it's Dr. Jeff's, you know, interpretation from his optic. And granted, that's got a bias to it. But I thought this was very revealing on that end as well, because I was trying to understand what's the animus that, you know, what was the impetus for this whole action? It makes a lot more sense now just watching it, watching stupid people do stupid things because stupid people are pissed off.
They all seem to have a real problem keeping their mouths shut.
Yeah, they do.
Every single member of this family, nobody knows when to shut up. I mean, from their phone calls to each other to everything, it's just nobody can hold anything back, and it's all to their detriment.
Right.
Can I throw something in, Robin? I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, sorry, Steve. I was occupying too much time, as always.
No, not at all. Not at all, please. My question is, could there have been an alternate universe where they took out the mother? You know what I mean? Like, we've had enough of her shit. Let's get the hitman and go after her and be done with her. And so that we can live our lives. I mean, that's where my brain goes, is like, why did they go after Dan? Why didn't they go after her?
Well, because they had the allegiance to mom. You know, I get what you're saying.
I think it's just a lifetime of reps.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a lifetime of growing up under that, granted, it was controlling, it was unhealthy, but one of the reasons why they have such open communication, as you're noting, with each other is because they felt safe together. I mean, because you didn't really see Wendy fighting mom and dad coming all the way up to drive the 30-something year old back down to Florida. I mean, to Southern Florida where they live, and treating her like a 6-year-old. You know, it none of these things from, again, the optic we're getting, you know, from Dr. Jeff here is none of these behaviors seem surprising inside that circle.
Sure.
And so for them now, what I do see, Stacey, to your point, I think what's happened is that older brother definitely did. The older brother's like, yes, you people are a bunch of wackadoos. You know, you got all broken brains. I'm fleeing the coop on you nutters. And so I think what you're seeing is he is the objective one.
Yeah.
Though I get the sense from limited data that he didn't burn necessarily any bridges. He just made them very null. Mm-hmm. And I think that now that he re-entered the picture, bringing some objectivity, and you're seeing people pointing the fingers at each other and they're seeing some objectivity, that's why you're seeing some cracks and fissures happen here. But it's really challenging for them because every time they have an inclination, maybe to your point, to go against the mother, that would invalidate their own opinion of their own behaviors for their entire lives. And that's very, very difficult for human beings to do. Typically, when do we see things like that happen? When people hit rock bottom. And so when you have that breaking aha moment, I have nothing else to lose moment. And I don't think any of them reach that yet. Although I don't think we're going to see a lot of tears shed when she goes to jail, if she's convicted of this thing.
There might be a sense of relief that finally this horrible mastermind puppet master can no longer pull the strings, but who knows what she can do behind bars too.
Yeah. And sense of relief is interesting. I don't know if they'll immediately necessarily feel a sense of relief if she was such a big sense of comfort for so many years. I think it'll be a period of confusion as the veil of that oppression starts lifting and they start seeing, wow, there's a whole world outside this little bubble I was kind of unaware of before.
Yeah.
But again, pure conjecture, but just from what we're observing and seeing play out, seems to make some sense.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.